Good morning. When I first started attending Unitarian Universalist services, I noticed that the ministers or worship leaders would often say, "Please join me in the spirit of prayer and meditation." Not, "Please join me in prayer and meditation," but "in the spirit of prayer and meditation." Which is kind of like saying, "Please join me in something that's not really prayer, so don't freak out," but is in the spirit of prayer, nonetheless. It's similar to the way that we UUs often say, "The spirit of life and love that some of us call God," because some of us don't. Some of us are uncomfortable with God language, either on principle or because of connotations from other faith traditions. And I think that many of us are ambivalent about prayer for the same reasons. I actually think the phrase "in the spirit of prayer" is just wonderful. It creates an opportunity for prayerful engagement for those who would otherwise resist an invitation to pray. And it invites all of us to consider, what is the spirit of prayer? What is the essence of prayer? Perhaps an opening of the deepest self, a lifting up of one's heart to connection with the universe, a willingness to be touched by whatever is holy. And whether that's a mystical experience that involves a higher or deeper power outside the self, or an entirely psychological process within the self, either way, it can nourish and sustain us in ways that we deeply and truly need. So we often come together here as a congregation in the spirit of prayer, which works for me. And yet, the first time I was in this room and I heard Lucy say, "Will you pray with me?" the tears came, right? I didn't know that I was waiting for that very direct invitation. "Will you pray with me?" is a bold and risky thing to say to a group of Unitarian Universalists. It risks alienating people who object to the idea of prayer that they brought with them through the doors. But it goes right to the heart, at least to my heart. It's the most direct invitation possible. No grammatical roundabouts to distance ourselves from the experience. No plausible deniability that what we are doing is actually praying. And doesn't praying just mean opening ourselves to mystery? Lifting up the heart to the spirit of life? Connecting whatever is deepest inside us to whatever is greatest outside us? Letting ourselves experience, or opening to the possibility of experiencing, ourselves as part of the interdependent web of being. I grew up in a liberal Christian family, and I was taught how to pray as a child. There was grace before meals, bedtime prayers, the Lord's Prayer, and lots of other specific prayers that were recited at church. Prayers of thanksgiving and of confession, prayers of petition. Many of them were just beautiful. Some of them were kind of weird. But I was also taught, and I'm grateful that I was raised in a tradition that taught, that I could pray in a way that was natural to me, just talk to God and tell him what was on my heart. And I did that. And I have to tell you, as a child, I felt connected to a loving, divine parent, and it was good. There was a personal relationship with God, an almighty God who'd created everything, including me, and was in charge of everything, including me, and who took a personal interest in each human and heard our individual prayers. That was the foundation for prayer. By definition, it was talking to him. Then I grew up. And I no longer believed in that God. So there was no reason to pray. In time, I learned to meditate in the Buddhist tradition. and I explored earth-based spiritual practices. Both of those practices continue to enrich my life. But I didn't pray anymore. What was the point? What happened next for me, and it was before I ever set foot in a church again or discovered Unitarian Universalism, but I ended up in a recovery program to deal with life-threatening addictions. And that's a whole other story. Let's just say that my addictions kicked my butt at a young age, and I was fortunate enough to find recovery more than 3 decades ago. But there was a problem for me at the beginning of my recovery journey, because my life literally depended on this fellowship of recovering people that I found, but they wanted me to pray. Reliance on what they called a higher power was at the core of this recovery thing they were trying to sell me, and prayer and meditation as a practice was a central tenet. Now, I learned that this higher power they talked about did not have to be the God of my childhood. I just needed to learn to rely on something outside my own ego and willpower. It could be nature, or the power of love, or the truth of the Dharma. So far, so good. But prayer? In my mind, that presupposed exactly the kind of higher power I didn't believe in. All powerful, all knowing, all that. At the very least, it seemed to me at the time that if I was going to pray, I had to know in advance precisely what my higher power was. I had the idea, and maybe this is because I'm the daughter of a theologian, that I needed to know the exact nature of my higher power before I could figure out how to pray. After all, if prayer is just talking to God, or whatever you want to substitute for God, don't I need to know who or what I'm addressing before I know what to say or how to say it? And if my understanding of the ultimate didn't involve an entity that could hear me, hear and respond to my individual voice, then what was the point? Now, overthinking has occasionally been my downfall. I bet you're not shocked to hear that, the laughter tells me. In my experience, overthinking is not only frequently counterproductive when it comes to matters of the heart and spirit, it's actually dangerous to me. So I will be forever grateful to the wise, sober folk who told me gently over and over that I could choose to quit the debating society and just try prayer without figuring it out in advance. I know. But it was pointed out to me, I don't need to understand exactly how electricity works to turn on the lights. I don't need to understand the physics of buoyancy to learn how to swim. So maybe I could pray like that, just by expressing what was in my heart, in my soul, whether or not anything could hear me. That made no sense, but I tried it because I was desperate and for no other reason. And it did, in fact, help me stay sober. More important, not more important, but of equal lifelong importance, it helped me get out of the prison of my own ideas. The prison of my attachment to doing everything my way, by myself, for myself, without intellect leading. Prayer opened me, in other words, and when I opened, the spirit of life could come in. So I want to tell you exactly what a prayer practice was like for me then, and what it's like now. And I have to say that standing in front of a room full of Unitarian Universalists and talking about my prayer life feels a little bit like talking about my sex life in public. I mean, it is such a taboo for us. It's such a private thing. Like, you might mention to another UU, if you want to be bold, you know, I pray. But you wouldn't really talk about the details. So I'm going out on a limb here with you folks, and I'm doing this because I want to encourage all of us in our covenantal community to have these conversations about how we do our spiritual lives. So, back at the beginning, when I was going to these recovery meetings, they horrified me by closing their time together by standing in a circle, holding hands, and reciting the Lord's Prayer. Hell no, I was not going to say that. But I needed the group, and I needed to be part of the communal experience they were having. So I would stand in the circle, and I would hold hands, And while they were reciting the words I objected to, I would imagine us, all of us, as a redwood grove, with our roots all interconnected underground, and all of us reaching up together as one organism toward the sun. That was a really good prayer. Then the people in my recovery program taught me other prayers, and I always didn't like them for one reason or another. They had sexist language or seemed to incorporate ideas about God I didn't agree with. So I started treating them like texts that were in a foreign language, which they kind of were. I became a translator, in other words, and like someone who translates poetry from one language to another, I approached it by looking for the essence of the writer and expressing that same essence in words and images that I could relate to. I still use this translation process sometimes, particularly when I'm attending services in other traditions. And increasingly over time, I didn't need to translate so much, right? Other people's prayers, even if they're not in my spiritual language, can open my heart nonetheless. And the world, honestly, is so full of great prayers. A lot of them are in the backs of our hymnals. You can find a million in the UU bookstore. And there are so many in so many different spiritual languages that I bet every single person in this room can find some that don't push your buttons. And when I come across a prayer that moves me but uses religious language that's problematic in some way, I just treat it as a poem from another time or another culture. And like a poem, I can just let the words open me. So prayers are like poems sometimes for me, and poems can be prayers. My prayer practice is full of poems that weren't necessarily written with any religious intention, but I use them as prayers. Poems that express my own soul's yearnings. Poems that make my heart rise up in my throat. They become a prayer when I read them with prayerful intention, because intention, I think, is the essence of prayer. And reading poetry out loud is especially good as a prayer practice, even when I'm alone. Something about experiencing the resonance of my own voice in my body and simultaneously hearing the words spoken aloud takes the poem deeper into my holy place. And boy, does singing do that too, whether or not you can carry a tune. And our hymnals are just chock full of songs that make wonderful prayers. I selected Comfort Me, which we just sang together, because it's one of the prayers that I use most often. And I mix up the words according to my need at the moment or how I'm moved. Comfort me. Open me. Move in me. Spirit of life, move through me. A sung prayer. Poems, songs, postures, dances, they can all be ways to pray when done with prayerful intent. But you know, the prayers that are most heartfelt are always the ones I just blurt out to give voice to some need or gratitude or awe. The writer Anne Lamott says that there are three essential prayers: help, thanks, and wow. And I think that is exactly right. When I cry out in my pain or my need for help, that's a prayer. When evening comes and I say, "Thank you, universe, for the Delta breeze," that's a prayer. And when I stand at the bottom of Half Dome going, "Wow," that's a prayer. These are prayers because they're expressions of my truest self offered up. And when I get too wrapped up in my ideas about prayer, thinking my way right out of a genuine spiritual experience, I remind myself that all it takes is help, or thanks, or wow. Kids know how to do this instinctively, even if they've been raised by atheist wolves or Unitarian Universalists and have never been taught how to pray. Help, thanks, wow is a great template for spiritual practice for families, which is a topic for another day, but RE families, stay tuned. I'll admit to you that I wrestle with the whole idea of prayers of petition, asking for things in prayer. So I don't pray for stuff, and I don't pray for specific outcomes to situations. I may have no idea what God is, but I'm pretty sure it's not a cosmic Santa Claus. So I don't pray for parking spaces. I don't pray for miracle cures for my friend who is dying too young. Instead, I pray for openness, for willingness. I pray for courage to do the right thing. I pray that I may see what I need to see, including about myself. That one's not always pretty. And I pray for others that they may be comforted, that they may be safe, that they may know peace. I pray for our planet. And I pray not because I think my words are going to persuade God to swoop down and rescue anybody, but because the act of praying opens me and makes me into a channel for love and justice. I don't discount the possibility that the prayers themselves have some kind of power, that somehow they contribute to healing energy in the universe. That might be true, but I can't know that or know how it works. My whole point this morning is that I don't need to, because prayer's not a performance for a divine audience, and it's not a means to an end. If any of you do have a sense of a God who listens, or of some benevolent power that listens literally or metaphorically, by all means, speak to her. But if you don't, and even for those of you who find that idea preposterous, don't assume that makes prayer irrelevant. I've shared my own experience with prayer with you, not because I think it's any kind of model, but as an illustration of how meaningful a prayer practice can be for non-theists as well as for theists. I pray not so that God will hear me, but because I need to give voice to my own spirit. I need to pray, not because God has ears, but because I have a voice. The writer Mark Nepo has said, "It is the speaking of one's heart that makes a human being human. For even if no one hears us, it is the act of speaking that frees us by letting the spirit swim and fly through the world. It is the act of speaking that frees us. That's why I pray. I, for one, and again, I'm speaking only for myself, I don't believe in the kind of God that hears and answers prayers, but I do believe in a power of love and justice and healing that runs through the entire interdependent web. Prayer is how I connect to that source and align myself with it. It's as if prayer were a kind of yoga, and I'm using words and my voice rather than just my body and my breath to connect energetically within myself and to the universe, to align myself so that my natural energy can flow unobstructed and in harmony with the rest of creation. I pray not because God is listening, but because my voice needs to speak. My heart needs to open, and my spirit wants to resonate with the spirit of the universe. I'm not trying to summon a power above and beyond myself, but to open myself more deeply, to summon from within a power that can be a force for healing in the world." I love these words of the painter Henri Matisse. He said, "I don't know whether I believe in God or not. I think really I'm some sort of Buddhist. But the essential thing is to put oneself in a frame of mind which is close to that of prayer." I think that works for most Unitarian Universalists, regardless of our theology. And the writer Annie Dillard put it this way: "The silence is all there is. It is the Alpha and the Omega. It is God's brooding over the face of the waters. It is the blinded note of the 10,000 things, the whine of wings. You take a step in the right direction to pray to this silence, and even to address the prayer to world. Distinctions blur. Quit your tents. Pray without ceasing." So, friends, will you pray with me? Spirit of life and love, open us. Open our eyes that we may see what we need to see. Open our minds that we may know what we need to know. Open our hearts that we may feel what we need to feel. Open us each to our own tenderest need and to our deepest wisdom. Open us to the needs of each other, of all our kindred, and of the earth. Open us to your power of healing, which expresses itself as love, which manifests itself in the world as justice. Spirit of life, help us. Thank you. Wow. Blessed be and amen.